Chetwell DeHuntsey.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The fact that I'm here tonight is a living witness of what the Word of God has done for my country. They that sit in darkness had seen a great light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life. He came unto his own. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. These sentences from the first 14 verses of the first chapter of John give us the characteristics of the Word God. God, the Word, offered and is still offering life eternal. The light he offers drives away our darkness and dispels our fears. He came unto his own, and to them he gave life. He became flesh and dwelt among us. When he dwelt among us, he went about doing good. He taught, he healed, and he preached. By the life he lived, by the death he died, he showed to us that God is love, and that love should be the crowning effort and the motive of all of our efforts. Can you imagine our Lord holding an empty hand to the hungry, an empty hand to the sick and the lowly? God so loved that he gave what he had, and the Son so loved that he gave himself. Shall we do less? The Word of God is quick and powerful. This is the Word as recorded in the Scripture. This Word is imperishable. It shall never pass away. The Word is mighty and active. The Word is alive. Peter said to his Lord, "Where shall we go? You have the Word of life." Your words are words of eternal life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. For over 100 years, the Southern Baptist Convention, of which this great army of women is a part, sent missionaries to Nigeria to teach the truth about God as revealed in Christ. The missionaries came and taught us that God is love. The teaching, preaching, and healing ministry of the missionaries shows that God cares for the whole of man. This method of presenting the Word of God has worked wonders in Nigeria. Men and women, young and old, have come to own Jesus as their Lord and Master. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But we have found, as events around us show, that this method of mere teaching, preaching, and healing will no longer satisfy the longing souls of billions in Africa. In the past 20 years, 30 new nations have come to be in Africa. This is a rush towards independence. And with this rush for political independence have been multiple plans to emancipate the peoples of Africa from poverty, ignorance, and physical ailment. With these developments have come chaos and confusion. Christians all over the world are faced with a challenge of replacing the chaos with Christ. We can do it if we commit ourselves on to the Lord. We should exemplify love as shown to us by Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We can do this if we rely on the power given to us from above. We can do it if we live the faith that we profess. No nation can live unto itself. Our world is growing larger and smaller every day. In one way or the other, our paths cross. When the path of a Christian crosses that of a non-Christian, what picture of Christ does the non-Christian see? Is it a clear picture or a blurred and confused picture? To present the Word of God anew to the nations of Africa, we have to commit ourselves wholly unto living rather than teaching and preaching and healing just in the name of Christ. Then we have to evaluate anew the Great Commission. Go ye. Who are to go? Where are we to go? Christians all over the world are to go wherever there are unsaved and uncommitted people. The black will go to the white. The white will go to the other races in the world, because we surely have a story to tell. And every Christian, no matter who you are, no matter where you are to tell that story.
Our second guest tonight is a woman that I called when I registered for her at the hotel, Mrs. Pettikoff. But when she got here, along with the missionary Sophia Nichols, I found that wasn't correct at all. For Miss Sophia Nichols puts the most beautiful twist to this and says it in the Portuguese manner and says her name is Mrs. Glaucia de Pettikoff. Oh, I think I'm doing much better tonight. She is the president of the Women's Missionary Union of Brazil. I am sure, as Ms. Sophia Nichols sits in the audience tonight, she who is the executive secretary of the Women's Missionary Union of Brazil, she must be exceedingly proud to have presented before the people who are her people here in this country the president of her Women's Missionary Union in Brazil. Mrs. Petchikoff is the writer of programs for Baptist adolescents, the author of 2 mission study books for girls' auxiliary, and she is the wife of the executive secretary of the State Board of Sao Paulo. I suppose that would correspond to the state boards that we have here. And her husband is the honored executive secretary of that state's board. We welcome to the platform tonight Mrs. Glaucia de Petchikoff.
What the Bible has done in Brazil. My beloved brethren and my dear sisters, my words shall be words of gratitude, first to God and then to my beloved American brethren. You sent us the gospel. You gave to us the Bible. We are also grateful to our dear sisters of the Women's Missionary Union for the opportunity to be here and bring to you this word. The Women's Baptist Missionary Union of Brazil loves you and thanks you. What the Bible has done in Brazil. The Bible, as the word of God, has spoken to the hearts of Brazilian people through the preaching of the gospel from the pulpits of the churches, in the home, in corporate work, and in church organizations. But that which has most impressed us is the work which the Bible has done in Brazil without human instrumentality. The word of God has spoken directly to the heart of the sinner. The Holy Spirit convinced him of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment has brought him to Jesus Christ. We will mention some examples of Brazilians who have been converted as the direct result of reading the Bible. We remember Dr. Joaquim Nogueira Paranaguá, who as a young boy was a Catholic seminary student, but did not agree with Catholicism. He had an aversion for the Roman Church because of its cruelties in the Holy Inquisition, which he had carefully studied. Later, he became a very fine physician, senator, and finally lieutenant governor of the state of Piauí. He was a man of great influence in political circles in our country. Once, when traveling with one of the pioneer missionaries in Brazil, Zacharias Taylor, the missionary offered him a copy of the New Testament. Having his own copy of the New Testament and being influenced as he had it, Dr. Paranaguá decided to send to Piauí to his twin brother a box containing Bibles and portions of the Gospels. As a result of the reading of that Gospel, a very influential family was converted. Dr. Paranaguá was on a number of occasions elected president of the Brazilian Baptist Convention. His wife, who had been converted at the same time, was the first treasurer of the Women's Baptist Missionary Union of Brazil. However, It has not only been among the social elite that the Bible has done this, but also it has operated its saving force in every social class of Brazil. In the state of Minas Gerais, missionary O.P. Maddox was witness of an unusual event. A young girl began to read the New Testament, which she had found in a bookcase of her home. She read it to her aging father. Both felt the weight of their sins and were converted. They felt the desire to preach the gospel to their neighbors and relatives. Many of them accepted Christ. They wanted to be baptized. They looked for an evangelical church, which they found after a very long, hard journey made by horseback. However, they were very much disappointed because they were offered baptism by sprinkling. They declared that they wanted to be baptized as Jesus had been. They had learned this in the New Testament. They returned to their farm, where one day they were visited by Dr. Maddox. It was one of the most impressive experiences of the pioneer missionary in Minas. Before a great auditorium, he stood to preach to them the gospel from the first Bible which those people had ever seen. He preached to them the gospel the whole night long. All of them wanted to hear more and more of the Bible. The following morning, he took 43 new Christians down to the river for baptism. Without any teacher except the Holy Spirit, all of them were brought to the conviction of their sins and exercised a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Naturally, there are thousands of other examples. But what is this when compared to the population of Brazil with over 8 million people? Recognizing this great need, the Brazilian Baptists are active in printing Bibles, New Testaments, and Gospels through the Brazilian Bible Press. The Bible Society of Brazil continues in its great goal to give the Bible to the nation. We cannot help but mention the National Evangelistic Crusade, which the Brazilian Baptist Convention launched last January. The purpose of the campaign is to present to the Brazilian people Christ, the only hope. The president of the campaign, Dr. Rubens Lopes, visited all of the outstanding civil, military, and political authorities of Brazil. He gave to each one a New Testament. Also, he visited the president of the nation, Marechal Humberto de Alencar Castelo Branco. Upon receiving his New Testament, the president of Brazil declared with tears in his eyes that that book had caused him to remember the days of his childhood when he knew Baptists as the people who were called believers. Brazilian Baptists had assumed the responsibility of distributing 10 million copies of the Gospel of John. This is just one of the activities of the National Evangelist Crusade. A new era is dawned on the horizon of Brazil. The Word of God is bound to prosper in this new era. This is our hope as we trust in Jesus Christ. May God bless us.
Our next guest comes from Taiwan. As I have sat here and looked out on these missionaries here at the front, I have recognized that There are those present whose hearts must be beating rapidly now as they think of the progress of work in the short span of years that Southern Baptists have labored in Taiwan. Here tonight are Miss Bertha Smith, Miss Martha Franks, Miss Olive Lawton. I have seen these three. You have heard the missionaries tell that when China's doors were closed and Bertha Smith and Martha Franks, I remember those two, maybe Olive Lawton went at the same time, went over to Taiwan. There were no men missionaries there. They went up and down the land preaching the gospel and finally appealed to the Foreign Mission Board that a man must be sent to baptize the converts. That was the beginning of Southern Baptist mission work in Taiwan. One of the early churches formed there in the city of Taipei was the Grace Baptist Church, a church with a magnificent history about it. The pastor of that church is Mr. Leon, and we spell it C-H-O-W, but it is pronounced Zhou, as best I can say it. His wife is on our platform tonight. She was elected the president of the Women's Missionary Union of Taiwan when it was organized in 1959. As I have thought tonight about that, I remember the privilege that Mrs. Mathis and I had of being with the women in the home where Miss Bertha Smith and Miss Martha Franks and Miss Olive Lawton lived on the conference grounds. They call it Little Ridgecrest. When the women were gathered there in a house party, what we would call a WMU conference, I think in all my life, I have never experienced worship to a higher degree than in the Vesper service there on the side of that mountain with these women in Taiwan. They decided at that time that they were mature enough to organize a national union. And when they organized, Mrs. Zhou was elected president. She served until 1961, from 59 to 61, as the president. And since 1961, has been the Chinese executive secretary of the Women's Missionary Union of Taiwan, serving alongside of Mrs. Culpepper, our missionary who has been the English executive secretary of Women's Missionary Union work there. We welcome you tonight, Mrs. Marie Zhou.
Madam President, dear friends, I bring you greetings from Taiwan Baptist Women's Missionary Union. I'm delighted to be attending your annual meeting and wish to express our thanks to you for your constant prayers and your generous financial support throughout these years. In 1959, you sent to Taiwan your excellent and dedicated leaders, Mrs. Mathis and Ms. Hunt. They met with us in a court meeting of leaders of our local societies. Their counsel, encouragement, and inspiration resulted in the organization of our WMU convention. Some of our ladies still quote Mrs. Mathis when she said, "It doesn't matter whether or not the number is small. If two devoted women will come together, a society can be formed." Now I want to share with you some of the fruits of their labor and yours. In our 61 missionary societies, we have weekly meetings. Two of our weekly meetings are circle meetings. One is our mission program, and the other weekly meeting is for testimony and prayer. The society which I attend has a Bible study each week. One of our purposes being to give all our members training in serious Bible study. We ask our members to lead in the Bible study. Many of our members feel their inadequacy, reluctantly at first, took their turn to lead. But as a result of their willingness to study the Bible, along with the Chinese or English commentaries, they have become very enthusiastic about their study
and anxiously await their turn to lead. And all are gaining Bible knowledge and spiritual strength. In addition to our weekly program meetings, we have weekly hospital visitation. Sometimes the American ladies of Calvary Baptist Church join us in these visits. We give gospel tracts and other Christian literature to the patients. We tell them about Christ and salvation. We always ask the patients if they want us to pray for them and with them. Once a lady told us that before she came to the hospital, her neighbor asked a minister to pray for her. She asked us to pray for her too. Watching us visit from bed to bed, she said, "Your work is very hard, but what you are doing really stirs my heart." We visit with people of all faiths. Most of them are Buddhists. When they see us coming, they say, "We believe in Buddha." But after talking to them kindly, many of them will listen to us. Even some of them will ask us to pray for them. Once we asked a Catholic lady, "Would you like us to pray for you?" She, no doubt in an effort to avoid admitting her need, answered that it was our business. But I said, "We must have your permission." So when she did not say no to us, we took the opportunity to pray for her. Many people are won through this hospital ministry. Our ladies feel we can do nothing within ourselves, but with God's help, there is no limit to our work. In our local societies and our convention prayer periods, we pray fervently together aloud for our churches, our mission work, for members of families who are not Christians, for our country and our loved ones in communist China. As our voices and hearts unite in earnest prayer, truly our Heavenly Father hears and works and blesses. Now I want to share with you an experience of one dedicated WMU member. When Mrs. Liu moved to another community, her pastor was very much disappointed that he had lost a good church member. However, after a short while, she opened her home for worship. Although Mrs. Liu has only an elementary school education, on Sundays, she leads this worship group in Bible reading and singing of one or two hymns. And she uses our Chinese Royal Service for her sermon. She has many opportunities to help people as she witnesses. Once she lent money to a delinquent boy. After a long while passed, he didn't return the money. So she told the boy's mother about this. Of course, he became very angry, but she was able to lead him to know his need for God. In this experience, she was not only able to lead the boy to Christ, but his entire family. Then she has the joy in participating in the service where the idols were removed from their home. This family actually became a nucleus for a mission point. For the first 6 months of the year, our ladies are encouraged to save money for our home mission offering. This home mission offering helps the work with mountain people, the Hakka tribes, and the people on the Green Island, just a little island off the main island of Taiwan, where we are the only Christian workers. For the latter 6 months of the year, we give for foreign mission offering. We have 3 missionaries in Korea and 1 in Thailand working among with Chinese-speaking people in these respective lands.
The rest of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is sent to the Foreign Mission Board in Richmond. We then have a very small part in the sharing of the gospel in the 56 countries of the world where there's Baptist work. There are many other phases of our Baptist women's work that I could share with you, but what I have told you will help you remember to pray for us. For truly, we all are laborers together with God in spreading the gospel around the world.